He's got a beautiful backswing.
Dad, oh, he got all of that one.
Oh my gosh.
That is amazing.
Layup with an iron into the hazard.
Well, that wasn't quite what I meant, you know.
Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the 73rd Hole. Colby Powell, Taylor Williams with you as always. And joining us today, we've got a special guest. We've got Maury Rose with us on the line. And Maury, I know you've been with the Oklahoma Golf Association and more specifically the OJGT for a long time here in the state of Oklahoma. We appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you, guys. Glad to be on.
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of take us through kind of how you got started with the OGA and then moving forward with the OJGT, and then we'll kind of later get into some of the event that's going on this week.
Yeah, well, we started the tour years ago. I think 2002 was our first year. I think we're wrapping up our 19th season. I think it's helped junior golf in Oklahoma. And we started this tournament this weekend, the Red River Team Challenge, between Texas, the TJGT and the OJGT kids. We started that. I believe this is the 16th year for that down at Dornick. So, but we started the tour in 2002, and I think we had six tournaments, regular scheduled tournaments in the fall, and we had a tour championship. And it's grown and grown and grown since then. I think at Dornick this year, I kind of like to brag on the kids, but I think we've got six or seven kids ranked in the top 100 in the nation on junior golf scoreboard. So the quality and the depth of the play has gotten a lot stronger in Oklahoma over the last 19 years.
Yes, there's no doubt about that, Maury. And I remember being just probably 13 or 14 year old out there, and you need to be introducing us on the first tee. And so we've been going at this for quite some time now. And you mentioned now that the play you feel like has gotten so much better. And you go on the OJGT website and you look at some of these scores. Like, for example, one of my close family friends, Ryder Cowan, is probably one of those top 100 juniors that you mentioned, and he just won an AJGA, I believe, last week or 2 weeks ago. And so What in your opinion, and even like when we were playing Taylor Gucci and Davis, Taylor Moore, all these mm-hmm. great players were playing, what have you seen personally between the different stages of players, and why do you think that the game, especially in Oklahoma, has grown so well as to where it is now?
Well, I think more than anything, and you guys that went through the thing with Taylor Gucci and that crew, and then Kevin Tway and all of them before that, and there's just been Robert Strebs, another one. When kids realize the scores that they're going to have to shoot to win, they tend to practice better. They practice longer and harder because they know they're going to have to if they have a chance to win. And once that starts spreading, it just kind of it takes care of itself as far as the level of competition rising.
Yeah, so you feel like it's one of those things to where it's kind of almost like a Tiger effect in a sense, to where if one person's going to be better, everyone else kind of steps up onto that playing field, and it just kind of got started really since 2002 when the tour started, and then everyone, mm-hmm. every junior behind has just kind of ridden that wave of momentum.
Yes, I really truly believe that. And you know, there's something to be said about the equipment and the golf ball and things like that, but today's tour, you can just see it. They're athletes, you know. They work out. Those are things that when I was young, nobody even thought about that kind of thing. And Tiger's partially responsible for that too. And I'll say too, Mike Holder at Oklahoma State was one of the first ones to start, weight training and things like that for his golf team years ago.
Yeah, there's been a lot of people that have gone into that. It's funny you bring up some of the guys, Kevin Tway, Robert Streb. We've actually got the TV on here in here with the Bermuda Championship being played this week on the PGA Tour, and Kevin Tway was up on the screen just a while ago hitting a shot in about a 35-mile-an-hour wind that they're playing in down there. How cool is it for you with everything that you've done over the years to see some of the guys that you've watched play as teenagers make it out onto the PGA Tour and really do some impressive things?
Oh, yeah. It does my heart good to see the kids. It does my heart good to see the kids play golf and play well, and some of them make a living playing golf. And I do help with the OGA with the state amateur championship, things like that. And it's just full of kids that played OJGTs, and it does my heart good to know that they didn't get burnt out and they still enjoy competing, even as adults.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whether pro or not. And then I have things too. I like to say this. Not all of them are going to make a living playing golf. We know that. But I mean, I have kids that will text me or email me and let me know that they've been accepted to medical school. They're out of law school now and those kind of things. And I'm just waiting for the day I turn around and I've got a 12-year-old kid that's mom or dad played, you know, 19 or 20 years ago.
Right, exactly, Maury. And that you mentioned like medical school and things like that stuff that, you know, because golf just teaches so many life lessons for you. And those are, you know, you look at the people who are successful in golf, like Kevin Tway, Taylor Gooch right now, Taylor Moore, Max McGreevy, all those great names. But in all reality, it's about what you do with your life that's most important. And I think that the tour that you've established sets up a lot of great life lessons like that, Maury. And so, you know, to kind of, you know, just take away from the life side and get back into the golf side of it, are there any of these guys that we've mentioned that have made it or made it so far, was there a moment, like, for example, like Taylor Gooch when you first saw him, or any Taylor Moore, was there any junior players, like when you first saw them, were you just like, man, I know that kid is just going to be a stud? Do you just knew that they were going to make it? Was there anyone that, or any player that stuck out to you like that?
Well, I can go to the two you just mentioned. Kevin Tway, I remember the first time he ever broke 70 in a golf tournament, and you could just see it in him. You can see the competitive nature in a kid when they're young, and sometimes even before the golf side of it really becomes, you know, skilled enough. But I'm fortunate enough that Taylor Gooch grew up right around the corner from us in Midwest City when my son was going through, and so he and Taylor's quite a bit younger, but he became really good friends, and they spent a lot of time hitting balls together and things. But again, Taylor's a great athlete; he could do anything, baseball, everything else. You could tell that he was going to be successful at whatever he chose to do. Taylor Moore's exact same thing, you know. You can see the competitive nature in a kid early, and that's just it's part of their personality. They don't know how to do anything except the very best they can do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. And one thing I'm really curious about, Maury, is how did the Oklahoma versus Texas Red River thing, I mean, it gets played every year on Halloween down at Dornick Hills in Ardmore, which is a phenomenal golf facility. Oh. Taylor and I played our state championship there our senior year, which Taylor actually won. We got runner-up as a team thanks to that. And how did that come about, and how great has Dornick been over the years for the kids?
You know, the membership down here and everybody just gives up their golf course on a weekend, and this weekend's supposed to be beautiful, and I'm sure they'd like to have played, but they've been so gracious, and the host pro, Derek Claiborne, has just been so helpful through the last few years he's been here, and all the pros that have ever been here. Steve was really good. Ramsey was good with us, and the people in Ardmore are really the hotels and restaurants and stuff. They're very, very accommodating to us, and that's why we stay here. They're just wonderful hosts.
Yeah, absolutely. Dornick's unbelievable. And then can you go into a little bit, kind of like, are you friends with the guys who run the TJGT? How did the actual Red River Showdown come together where you all meet up in Ardmore every year?
Well, it just was an idea that I had, and I knew the director of the Texas Junior Golf Tour years ago, named Tony Espinoza. And I said, what if I was just to bring our top, you know, 10 boys and our top 10 girls, and you did the same thing. We met down at Dornick Hills and had like a Ryder Cup match play type thing. Well, in the meantime, Tony resigned from the Texas Junior Golf Tour, and Dave Jones, who was the director of that for years, took over, and he said, hey, what's this deal about the idea that you had about a tournament down at Dornick Hills? And I said, yeah, and I told him, and he goes, man, let's just have a bang-up deal. Why don't you just bring your top 56, 40 boys and 16 girls, okay? And then we'll do the same thing. We'll have a big old stroke play event individually, and then we'll figure out some way to do a team thing. And it's just been that way ever since.
Has it always been more, because you mentioned this match play thing, whenever it first got instituted, has it always been just bring your best players and it's individual stroke play, or did it start off to where you guys played kind of like a four-ball or foursomes type format?
No, it's always been what it is now.
Also,
we never had it the other way.
Right. I always remembered that we would always, and I don't know if you still, I know you still do it for the first round, but and for even the second round too, where you'd always put two Oklahoma players and two Texas players in the same group. And I always thought that was really cool, because even though you're playing against the Oklahoma player, you still felt like you were on the same team, because it doesn't really matter. You know, there's a little blood in your veins whenever it's, you know, Oklahoma versus Texas. There's a little, you know, a little bit of rivalry there, no matter who you're playing with.
Yeah, I've always felt like, and this, you know, has always been one of the highest ranked events in this part of the junior events in this part of the country because of the strength of the field. That one year, Taylor, I don't know if you were playing or not, but one year we had Steve, Patrick Reed, Kelly Kraft, Kevin Tway, Taylor Gooch. They were all in the same field. Of course, you know, Reed and Spieth were both just 14 years old, so at the time you don't know how good they're going to be. Except when he was 14, Spieth shot 64 during the last round, so you could see something was going to happen.
Oh, man, is that any good?
I don't know if I was. I can't remember if I that was the first year I played in it. I might have played in the year after that, but I do remember Spieth shooting 64 because he was the number one junior in the country when he was like 15 or 16 years old.
Yeah,
and I knew he played there, and I was like, wow. And because I remember specifically that the weather wasn't even that good that day too. And, you know, it's not like it was calm, no wind, bright and sunny. I think there was about a 20 mile an hour gust, if my memory serves me right.
Yeah. Well, you know, Taylor, one of the things about this tournament, and we keep, you know, pretty good records of it. We have the trophy has the individual winners, you know, stuff like that. But I don't think any winner of this tournament, I mean, Spieth didn't win it that year because he had shot like 77 the first round or something. But the bottom line is you look at the numbers that have won it, and rarely does a guy ever shoot more better than even par to one or two under. And there's been several times that over par wins it. This whole golf course speaks for itself.
No doubt. Do you think that how much of it do you think contributes to course setup more? And then also too, you know, how over your past memories, how would you say, you know, because obviously we're at the end of October, start November, everyone in Oklahoma just saw the ice storm that we just had, unfortunately, you know, so how has the weather contributed over the 19 years that you've been there more to the who wins the tournament and who, what favors Oklahoma or Texas?
I think for the most part, it's not, we try to set the golf course up for speed of play and stuff, so it's not overly difficult, but this golf course is a hard golf course, you know. It's only 65 or 6,600 yards from the back tee, but there's a lot of holes that you can't tee off with drivers, so all of a sudden it actually plays to about 68 or 6,900 because you have to pick up different clubs to tee off with and put you further back. With your approaches.
Absolutely. And it's just such a pure golf course, too. You're going to get rewarded for your good shots, suffer for your bad shots. And there's so much, you know, subtle green undulation there. You know, it's kind of everything breaks. And you know, the theory is everything breaks away from Perry Maxwell's burial, I guess, or his monument up there. And that's kind of the, you know, the stigma to go off of. And, you know, you'll hit a putt and you misread it by 2 feet and you're like, what in the world just happened? You look and you see the cliff and you're like, oh, well, that explains it.
Well, and I'll say this, too. There might not be better back-to-back golf holes in the entire state than 16 and 17 at Dornick.
I agree. And Maxwell just knew how to build a golf course and use the terrain that he had to work with. And this, you know, this was the first one he ever designed.
Yes, it was. And first, I believe it was the first course in Oklahoma with sand greens, I believe, or the first course with greens or so. They may have been the first to transition to grass. It was something like that. Dornick was one of the first to institute something like that. So
you can get online and you can look up Perry Maxwell's history and you can learn all about it because it's there and it tells the whole story.
Yeah, and the history is very extensive. We've got Maury Rose with us from the Oklahoma Junior Golf Tour. Got the big Red River. Is it the Red River Showdown, the Red River Shootout? What's the official title?
The Red River Team Challenge.
The Red River Team Challenge. Okay, I wasn't even close. The Red River Team Challenge.
Uh-huh.
Let me ask you this. Costume contest tomorrow. I mean, surely somebody's going to come out dressed as Iron Man, right? It's October 31st.
You know, I've wondered, and a lot of it is the girls. Now they'll do face painting, and you know, or the last year a girl got some, disposable tattoos to give the other girls, and they get more into that, I think, sometimes than the boys do. But we wear, you know, each team has their own uniform they wear, you know, so we buy shirts and hats for them each day. So it's a neat deal, I think, for the kids. And for the Oklahoma Junior Golf Tour kids, this is the culmination of our season. And they work, they play tournaments, and they work, and they get points for the season. And we go straight off the points. So basically our whole fall season is a long qualifier to get to Dornick.
Yeah, and that's awesome. Because the year. It's not, you know, you're not hand-picking kids, anything like that. You go out and you earn it. You earn your spot, and then you get to play. Is it hosted on Halloween weekend every year? Is that kind of when it's
no.
to position it?
It's the calendar this year. I think most years it's been like the week before Halloween.
Gotcha.
Normally.
Gotcha.
It has been over Halloween before, though.
Taylor, do you ever remember playing it over Halloween?
I do remember a lot of I think every year that I played in it, more just from, you know, my graduating or in how the calendar mm-hmm. worked out, you know, Halloween was either Thursday, Friday, or a Saturday. So it was,
right.
you know, it kind of fell Halloween weekend. But when Halloween falls on a Tuesday or Wednesday, it's, you know, at that point, you're kind of like, which weekend is Halloween weekend at that point?
Right.
You know, which one is it? But, you know, one thing I wanted to ask you about, Maury, and you were kind of explaining this to me at the Oklahoma Open when I was teeing off, that how, you know, right now the OJGT is now getting performance stars on the AJGA, mm-hmm. which for anyone who isn't aware, that's how you earn your status on the AJGA into what event you get into. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I would, you know, just kind of explain to the best of your ability, Maury, how, you know, since 2002, you got it started, now to 2020, almost 2021, where we are now, you know, what exactly is the process on getting your tour ranked? What all do you have to have? How do they qualify strength of field? Not mm-hmm. only for the boys, but for the girls as well, you know, kind of just explain that process and how,
sure.
you know, what kind of delegation and stuff you have to go through.
Okay, well, of course, we've always been ranked by the Junior Golf Scoreboard, but it's more difficult to have the AJGA give you the status that they do by giving you performance stars for your tournaments. And we wouldn't, I don't know that we would still be getting them had it not been for Dave Jones, TJGT, because they were. And then he basically said, "Hey, listen, they give us everything that we want every year," and he kind of went to bat for us and suggested, you know, gave them the idea to maybe, you know, give our kids stars. And it's been that way for about the last 6 years, probably, that we got them.
That's really cool. And one thing you also mentioned to me is that how many more players are starting to come out of state. You know, whenever I was growing up, you mm-hmm. know, we would have a few players come from Kansas and maybe Arkansas, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. But you elaborate, you know, just how much the tour has expanded, especially in the, you know, central to south, southeast, sure. southwest part of the country. You know, so kind of explain, you know, you know, obviously how happy does that make you feel? And also too, you know, how is it just going? Is it kind of word of mouth? You know, just knowing how well the tour is, mm-hmm. you really just think that the performance stars is really what's kind of elevated the tour, you know, kind mm-hmm. of take us through what really has led to the tour's success.
Well, I know one thing, when they're kind of given a status like to that degree, it probably has brought in a lot of the better players from out, you know, from like northeast Arkansas, you know, or southern Kansas, you know, regionally pretty close to Oklahoma. A kid that lives in Fayetteville, Arkansas can get to Tulsa in an hour and a half. Takes me longer than that to get there from Oklahoma City. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a good point. And I'm curious, you know, you talk about more kids coming from out of state and stuff. Just in general, because you kind of get to see it at the ground level with the junior players, do you feel like over the last, you know, 5 to 10 years, there has been a growth in youth golf, more kids wanting to play and be involved as we see, you know, the purses and everything and just the exposure the pros get? Do you think the game has just steadily grown from a youth standpoint?
Oh yeah, and due to the issues we've had, you know, from the health standpoint this year, all the golf courses that I've talked to have just said it's just been the biggest boom we've ever had, because golf's a safe sport, you know, right now. But you know what I've seen too, and I've got to say this: you've got programs for kids out there right now that are probably 5, 6, 7 year old kids in U.S. kids, all up to 14, 15, 16 year old divisions. And a lot of them have their parents caddying for them when they're little and teaching them the rules, so they come out learning pretty good knowledge of the rules, and then they go from that to the South Central PGA section events that have been there for years, and they still do a great job on those, and there's just more opportunities, I think, when kids are young, you know, to get them going, and so consequently, I'm just lucky. I get them when they're where they've gone through the formative years, you know, and I get to see some of the end product, which is getting pretty good.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm curious. You mentioned, obviously, with COVID and everything that's gone on this year, I'm sure that that has presented its own set of unique challenges. How have you kind of handled that with getting these tournaments set up and making sure everyone's safe and still making sure that these kids have an avenue to compete and do what they love to do?
Right. Well, what we have, and it's kind of in a way done it, taking care of itself. We want social distancing. We want all the CDC guidelines followed by all the kids and their parents and that kind of thing, too. Sitting down here at Dornick this morning, I was talking about how we're going to give out awards. We can give out awards outside, you know, where it's in a protected environment where people can spread out. And what I have found out too is a lot of the kids, when we give our the trophies out this year, there's not that big gathering that sits there and watches the trophies get handed out. But basically, if the kids aren't going to finish, they go get in their car and go home because it's just the safe thing to do instead of gathering.
Yes, yeah, that's definitely the way to go, Maury, where you just, you, like you said, to keep that social distancing. And, you know, that's another interesting point I had for you is that, because I remember whenever I was out playing, you know, you would, for example, you know, any big name junior players, there'd be just a pack of college coaches at all these tournaments. You know, you'd have, you know, Ryan Hibble, at the time it was Mike McGraw, who's now at Baylor, to be at OSU, and now Alan Bratton's the coach there. And so, you know, how has COVID impacted COVID impacted college coaches being able to come out and scout these players, and also too, and in the 19 years that you've seen the tour improve, how much have you seen college coaches coming out to kind of scout the players as opposed to the earlier years when you got started?
Oh, you know, and of course, Taylor, you played in the Red River, and you know that there were coaches everywhere for this. Because it's basically the best players on both tours.
I mean, D1 coaches from, I mean, not just Texas and Oklahoma, Louisiana, Alabama. I mean, all over Arizona. I think the Arizona coach was there 1 year. I mean, it's crazy the amount of college coaches that go there.
Oh yeah, and I can't really speak to the NCAA guidelines because I do know the recruiting guidelines went through some changes, did all of this stuff, and so I really can't speak to that, but. But I've still had a lot of coaches here and there that come out. I don't know. You know, they did do some changes as far as being able to visit, being able to do these things because of the COVID situations in different states. But I'll tell you a fun story too, real quick, Taylor, if I can. I remember a parent last year, 2 years ago, was at a tournament in Denver, Colorado, and she took a picture. Grand Canyon State was there. University of Missouri, Kansas City was there. Denver University was there. And Wichita State, I believe, was there. This is a couple of years ago. And they took a picture of like six kids that played OJGTs that had, they play in Division I, but they left the state, you know. Mm-hmm. They can't all play at the state schools. But they took a picture of all of them with their college bags, and they'd all played OJGTs through the years together. That was pretty neat.
That's an awesome story, Mark, because that, you know, you hear, like, we just keep talking about, you know, the bigger names, the guys that have made it to the tour, just because there's so many players that go that have gone through the OJGT program that, you know, sometimes the players, you know, that go to, like I mentioned earlier, college coaches like Wichita State, Greer Jones, I'm not sure if he's still there. He was a fabulous coach, and so that's another tremendous program. And to see, you know, some of these, like even Oklahoma Christian, where I went, we had Rian Gibson on, who's now on the PGA Tour, and you know, even some of these lower D1 programs can get really great players and can propel them to earlier success. So, you know, just because, and for any junior listeners out there listening, just because you don't go to an OU or OSU, don't let that that doesn't mean that limits you from having ultimate success on the tour, or even like you mentioned earlier, Maury, with, you know, like getting into medical school or just life success in general.
Right. But it's been neat to watch them all spread out, and some of them are not ready for the rigors of Division I golf, but they'll go to D2 schools, and Oklahoma has great D2 schools, and they've got Oklahoma City University is you know, their reputation and track record on girls and boys golf has just been phenomenal at NAIA level.
I think that's an understatement, Maury, in all honesty, just because the amount of competition has just been really substantial over the years. And, you know, we've been so generous for your time, and we don't want to take a whole lot more. I do want to put you on kind of the hot seat now. Quick question. All right. Yeah. So just off the top of your head, you've been on the tour 19 years now. I want you to put together a top five starting lineup, girls and boys. If you were going to go, you're alumni, top five boys and girls to versus Texas, which five, I guess it would be a total of 10, would you pick?
That's tough question.
As far as the best five kids that we've had that played?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're not picking favorites here. We know you're not picking favorites.
No.
So just off of your talent.
Hey, Taylor, you remember a kid named Colton Staggs, one of the best young players around.
He won the state and when he was like 15 or 16 years old.
Mm-hmm. So, but I would say overall, I would have to go with somebody that's playing to make the tour, you know. Streb, he only played 1 year, I believe. I would have to go with Tway. I have to go with Gooch. Through the years, let's see, you got McGreevy. He won a Corn Ferry event this year. Taylor Moore's got to be in there. I think Mason Overstreet should be. I can go on and on. Mason Overstreet was the runner-up in the NCAA championship when he was a freshman at Arkansas.
So basically what you're saying is we're picking between PGA Tour players, guys that finished second NCAA championships, guys that are about to be on the PGA Tour. So that's why we knew this was going to be such a hard question.
Well, and Taylor Williams got to be in there somewhere.
I might be an alternate on the E or F squad somewhere down there. But, one thing too, Maury, we just talked about the alumni, and you mentioned it to me at the Oklahoma Open, the potential of one day having an alumni tournament. Have there been any more thoughts to that? And if so, you know, what would be the process of getting all of us together, because I'd be the first one to sign up for it.
Yeah, I don't know when we could do it. It probably wouldn't be until I retire, I would imagine, have more time to work on something like that. But I just thought it'd be neat sometime to get the kids back together.
It would be. Like I said, I'd be the first one to sign up, and I know a lot of other friends and guys that played on the tour would say the same thing, because it'd bring back a lot of great memories. And in all honesty, Maury, I don't see you ever retiring. I think you're going to keep going for a long time, so I don't know if we'll ever get this alumni tournament started.
Well, you know what retiring – you know what the term retired – it means you're tired all over again. You just get retired.
That's a great way to put it. I love that.
So,
yeah, that's absolutely brilliant. Maury, we really appreciate your time. Anything else you want to add about the tournament going on this weekend? Or can we follow along online or anywhere and try to watch scores and see if Oklahoma gets it done?
You can go to okgolf.org and go to the OJGT site, and then it'll come up.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Maury, you'll be able to follow it.
Yeah, go ahead, Doug.
Is there registration for next year's season already? Is there a schedule out, or is that still kind of in the process and be coming out by towards the start of the year?
We usually don't start on the schedule till mid-November, early December, awesome. And then we'll have it up for tournaments up for entry on the 1st of January.
But as soon as it's up at the start of the year, it's just through the OGA website, correct? Now, Maury, then they go to OJGT through there?
Right, so
okgolf.org.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. I just want to make sure we let every junior out there who wants to get started know, because this is one of the, not only just the best tour in the state, but one of the best tours in the country. So we want to make sure that everyone knows how to get signed up and start showing off their talents,
right.
You know, just like some of the other great names that we've got to mention on the show.
Well, that is very kind of you to do. Thanks for the promotion.
Absolutely. Maury, thank you for joining us. A lot of people really appreciate all the work that you've put into Oklahoma Junior Golf and what you've turned it into. It's really pretty phenomenal to watch it flourish these days.
Well, it's been an absolute joy.
Yeah, absolutely.
For 19 years.
Yeah,
okay.
Maury, you're the man. Thank you.
Take it easy, Taylor. Okay.
Thank you for your time, Maury. Thank you so much.